Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
Asia Pacific Currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links.
Good morning, and welcome to all the listeners out there on this beautiful Saturday out there here in Melbourne, the 19th of November. And my name is Pierre Morrow, and I'll be taking you through to 9:30 on the program of Asia Pacific Currents, brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links. And thank you very much to Solidarity Breakfast for another interesting program. And the music, and this time I can actually tell you what the music you were listening to was Something Has Changed by Kate Vigo. And things are certainly changing in the world, but we just have to organise and make sure the change our way. Now, if you like what you hear on today's program of Asia Pacific Currents, and of course there's people out there who are listening live on the internet or as podcast, you can go to our website, all the W's, aawl.org.au, and a lot of these news items will be up by tomorrow night, or you can always go to our Facebook page, Australia Asia Worker Links. And on today's program, we'll have an interview that I did last week with Nasir Mansour, who is the Deputy General Secretary of the National Trade Union Federation of Pakistan, about the terrible explosion and massacres of workers at the Gadani shipyards. The death toll from these horrific massacres of workers has risen to at least 26. There might be more, but that's the last time I looked, with possibly 10 more workers still listed as missing. And as you go through as you listen through the interview, you'll see why, you'll hear why it's actually hard to know how many workers have actually died. This disaster has certainly focused national attention on the conditions for workers in these workplaces, and there have been numerous meetings and rallies by thousands of workers at these shipbreaking yards who are demanding justice for the dead and injured and better conditions for them. So hopefully with this latest disaster, some improvements can be made to them. But again, that interview will be coming up around in about 10 minutes time to hear more about the conditions at the Gadani shipbreaking yards. And stay tuned until the end of the program, because I've got three rallies to announce, two on today and one tomorrow, all very important. So stay tuned until 9:30. But we'll go to our news roundup straight away. And the first one is to Thailand, where this week the imprisoned journalist and labour activist Somyot Pruksakorn Samsuk was awarded the prestigious Jeontae Il Labour Prize. Somyot is the first non-Korean winner of this award, which is the award given annually by the trade union labour movement in memory of Jeontae Il, who's a historic, heroic figure in the Korean trade union movement, to a trade unionist and worker activist. So Somyot has been the first non-Korean to receive this. As Somyot is still in jail in Thailand, the award was accepted on his behalf by his daughter, Sukanya Pruksakorn Samsuk. Following the award, Sukanya asked for Somyot's supporters to write to him in jail as a continued show of solidarity. And obviously, there's still solidarity protests happening around the world against the Thai military dictatorship and for the freedom of Somyot and of other political prisoners in Thailand. And we go now to nearby to China, where the news has come that Meng Han has become the latest independent labor activist in China to be jailed for organizing workers and taking industrial action. Meng was sentenced to 18 months in jail for gathering crowds to disrupt public order. Meng is the fourth Guangdong labor rights activist to be convicted in the last 2 months, but he has received the harshest sentence of the four because he has refused to confess to his crime, or I would say alleged crime, of organizing workers. In an unrelated but important development, the Chinese government has jailed 49 company and government employees that were found guilty of contributing to the horrific blast last year in the northern city of Tianjin that killed 173 people. So at least that's good to see that someone has been held accountable for that horrific explosion in Tianjin just over a year ago.
Hi, this is Mitchell from Cut Copy, and you're listening to 3CR. Please support community radio. Subscribe now.
And staying in South Korea, so this was actually my second page, so I should have seen it, that I do actually have two stories that concern South Korea. As regular listeners would know, this month has seen an unprecedented political crisis engulf the government of South Korea. Last week, 1 million people took part in a demonstration in central Seoul, calling on President Park Geun-hye to step down due to the influence peddling scandal involving her confidant Choi Soon-sil. And if people haven't heard about this scandal, I highly recommend for you to Google the issue of President Park and her confidant, because it makes fascinating reading. It's basically about that President Park has got this friend, long-time friend, and basically this friend looked at all the government legislation and with her and gave advice, even though she has no elected or no formal position. Of course, the administration of Park Geun-hye has been relentless in its attacks against workers in the last couple of years. And workers have fought back with massive mobilizations of hundreds of thousands of people throughout the country. Korean unions have now called for a new general strike for the 30th of November, so at the end of this month, to act as a catalyst and force the resignation of the president. So wish you all the best, comrades, for this effort, and hopefully you can get out another massive show of force at the end of this month. And another country where there's ongoing unrelenting repression is in Turkey, where the repression of that by the Turkish government has not only confined to workers, but has also now increasingly targeted oppositional political parties. This week, anti-terror police units arrested the co-mayors of the Kurdish cities of Sirte, Dersim and Cizre for alleged terrorist crimes. This comes on top of from the arrest early this month of 14 of the 59 parliamentarians of the opposition People's Democratic Party, or HDP. And the ones arrested included the party's co-leaders, Selahattin Demirtas and Figen Yüksekdag. Now, these latest attacks are, of course, on top of the tens of thousands of workers who have been dismissed, the 140 journalists who are now in jail, and the numerous media outlets that have been shut down since the failed coup in mid-July.
Hello, I'm Ben from Regurgitator. Stay tuned to 3CR. Support community radio and your local music scene and subscribe now.
As the last news roundup for this week, we actually go very local and to Australia. The issue of the systemic and rampant exploitation of migrant workers in Australia was once again exposed this week in a number of media outlets. a number of farms in Victoria were exposed as using a web of subcontracting companies to pay workers only a few dollars a day for their work. This exploitation is a result of the ongoing attack on unions and the increased use by employers of short-term visitors to Australia as vulnerable workers. Only by granting permanent residency status to these workers, increasing penalties on employers, which of course usually they get almost scot-free for underpaying workers, and stronger unions, will these practices be able to be tackled? And having just come back from a three-day national conference of my union, the Australian Services Union, I can tell you that we as unions certainly try to have stronger unions, but it's very difficult. So we need all the support that we can. And of course, if you're listening and you haven't joined your union, join your union and get involved. So this is the end of the news roundup for this week. Again, if you want more information, go and look at our website, aawl.org.au. We'll go for a short community announcement and then we'll be back with the interview with Nasir Mansour.
Did you miss the latest episode of your favourite 3CR show? Visit 3CR's new improved website.
Now you can listen to the latest episode of almost every 3CR show with one click, including music, arts, community languages, current affairs and more. No need to podcast, no need to download.
Visit 3CR's website, 3cr.org.au. Then go to your favourite programs page to listen.
Last week, I was fortunate enough to be able to interview Nasir Mansour, who is the Deputy General Secretary of the National Trade Union Federation of Pakistan, about the horrific explosion and death toll at the Gadani shipbreaking yards. Like I said, this was done early last week, so you'll hear some of the dates have already passed.
Can you tell us what happened on the 1st of November at the Gadani shipbreaking yards with the explosion?
On that fateful day, it was oil tanker who was beached 10 days ago. The work was started at the 31st of November in the evening, and they have recruited around 200 workers to start work at that oil tanker. So when they wake up in the morning and they started to work at 9:40, there was a blast. It was because one worker was cutting iron sheet and the spark touched with the oil and petrol, which was spread somewhere, and it got the fire, and then started different blast in it because of number of cylinders were there, gas cylinders were there, and then it reached to the oil tankers, and then there was a huge fire, and 4 hours after that fire, the fire tenders came to shipbreaking yard, and it was because of, we called them. I was there at 11 o'clock at 11 a.m. in the yard, and our union comrades were there on that time, and they called different government officials, administration, but no one was there to stop the fire. So it was a very pathetic and horrifying accident. Workers were burning alive and they were jumping out from the ship, and the debris of, because of the blast, fall 3 or 4 kilometers away from the yards, from the ship. And even some parts of the body were collected from 2 or 3 kilometers away from the yard. So number of workers died under the debris. So till now, we calculated 29 workers. We have confirmation of 29 workers died. Around 55 workers are admitted in a different hospitals, out of which 5 are in a very, very critical condition due to burns, and they are the 100% burn. But the number of workers, how many workers are missing, is still not confirmed because there is no data available about it. So, because number of workers are immigrant workers, especially from the Bangladesh. So, till now, 14 families have contacted us and they inform that their family members are missing.
Nasir, what you've just described is horrific, especially talking about that you had to call the fire engines 4 hours after the fire actually started. But maybe you can also tell the listeners who might be shocked to hear about this incident some of the conditions that workers are forced to work under and the real lack of health and safety measures.
You see, some people say that Gadani shipyard is graveyard for the old ships, but it is confirmed that it is not a graveyard of the ships, but is a graveyard for the workers. It was started in 1969. Till now, around 800 workers died because of these kind of accidents, and thousands of workers injured. So there is no record of it. It is only because of safety and occupational safety and health issues, and negligence from the labor department side, negligence from the employers and the contractors. That's why all these are happening. And nobody is listening the voices and the cries of the workers to improve the working and the living condition at the workplace. Not a single labor law is implemented over here. Workers work on a daily wages. They don't have a weekly holiday. They don't recognize and they are not registered with the social security institutes. They don't have pension schemes. And the worst thing is that they work without any precautionary measures and they don't have the equipment with them. So every day there were that kind of small accidents every day. Around 20 to 25 workers each year died because of these accidents. But now, because this was a big disaster, big tragedy, that's why now the media is much more focused on it and they are discussing that issue. In Pakistan, in each and every workplace, the biggest issue is the safety and health for the workers. The workers died, you see, you know that 4 years ago in September, in a garment factory, 260 workers died in a factory fire. So since then we are on the roads, we are talking with the government, we are demanding from the government to listen and make it possible for the workers to work in a good environment. But they never listen. The same is now happening in the shipbreaking yard. You see, now is the 10th day. There's no response from the government side. Workers died and they don't have, they are starving. The families are starving. They don't get any kind of a compensation. The workers who are in the hospitals, they are not getting a good, a better treatment. And there is no response from the government side. And so is a very pathetic conditions over there. So you see, the Gadani shipbreaking as compared to other sectors are a more worse, because in that area, when there's a work in a peak, there are around 25,000 workers work. But now the capacity of work is reduced. Still there are 12,000 working directly at the shipbreaking yard. But the labor department, social security institute, environmental agencies, police, and the local administration, they have a very close knitted and very closely they are collaborating with the employers. They are getting the bribes from them and then don't allow to work, raise their voices, cry or demand anything from them. You see, in a shipbreaking yard, whenever even if a worker died, they don't allow them to perform religious ritual, the last ceremonies at Ship Gadani shipbreaking yard. They just shifted the workers who died injured from the shipbreaking yard on an open trucks. The trucks which used for the scrap, there is not a single ambulance is there. So everything is going on like a jungle law, because the administration, the department concerned are very much closer with the factory, the ship owners. So we are, for the last 9 years, we are struggling against the injustice with the workers. We have formed two unions, and these unions were deregistered after the labor department get a bribe from millions of rupees as a bribe from the shipbreakers. Shipbreakers themselves formed a yellow union, and they are getting a 100 rupees from each and every worker per month. And these monies they use to bribe the different departments to shut their mouth and repress the workers over there. So now the situation is that now the government are in a contact with us, and they say that, and they are trying to pretend that they are serious about it. They say that they want to make some special laws for the shipbreaking yard, but still we don't believe them, because their whole tradition is that they never speak for workers. They never want to improve the working condition of the worker at workplace.
Very sad and heavy words there, Nasir. And just a quick clarification, what is the daily wage for workers employed in these ships?
You see, it's a vary from trade to trade. Just like if it's a helper, he get around the 300 rupees per day. But they are not a paid holiday. If he don't work on a Sunday, he can't get a 300 rupees. The same is with the welder, a cutter. Workers work on a different, on a cleaning or different profession at the ship. It vary from 300 to 900 rupees per day, but without holiday, without paid holiday.
And obviously without any health and safety equipment.
No, no safety equipment, no social security, no union, no any grant, no pension for them.
You've mentioned a little bit about how you managed to form two unions and then you got deregistered. We get the idea that the pressure on you and fellow labour activists to organise will be very heavy from both the government and the employers.
Yes, because employers are the most powerful section of the society. They are well connected with the government officials, the political parties, and the government, even high up from a prime minister level. They are well connected. So they can use all these leverages and to stop the formation of a union. So we are constantly under threat from them and from the administration also. 2 years ago, we organized a different demonstration and activities. Me was also tortured by the police, and our number of workers and the union leader was arrested, and number of cases were registered against them. But we are on the ground, we have the office over there, they don't recognize us. But whenever there is any kind of a problem, we resolve them, we resolve it with the help of and with the power of the workers. And now today the problem is that now they have stopped the work. The government has announced an order, and they stopped work at the shipbreaking yard. It means that financial murder of our 12,000 workers. So they are starving at the moment. So we have demand from the government to restore the work and the operation at the shipbreaking yard. Otherwise, we will go for the protest on the 14th of November.
As a final question, Nasir, I think you have explained the situation very well and have shown the difficulties that you operate in. What do you think is going to happen in the next 6-12 months in terms of the workers' conditions? Do you think that such a bad accident as what happened early this month will give you enough impetus to be able to carry some real changes for in workers' lives?
Yes, you see, we are optimistic and we see the positive side of the things, and we hope that the thing will be changed, will start to change. Because you see, before that accident, it was not agenda of the society. Now it is become a agenda of the society. Now it is a discussion in the media, in the newspapers, in different sectors. Now they are speaking on it, and now even the government officials are negotiating with us, and we are going to make one code for our shipbreaking workers. And there's a meeting on the 30th of November with the government officials, and I will submit that document. Just as we have a shipbreaking code in Alang in India, that after the adoption of that code, now the situation is little bit better than Pakistan. So now we also trying to form that kind of shipbreaking code in Pakistan, and we are preparing, finalizing that code, and it will be worked. And now the government is also negotiating with us, and they are trying to discuss the issue of the union registration of a worker with the Social Security Institute. They are discussing how to register the worker with different departments and make possible in all ways health and safety related issues at the workplace, especially at the shipbreaking yard.
Well, that sounds encouraging news, Nasir. Unfortunately, it needed such a terrible accident to push it forward. Yeah. But we wish you all the very best, and we'll certainly keep in touch, and we would certainly wish you all the very best for you and all the workers at the Gadani shipbreaking yards, and we hope that you'll be able to organize.
Thank you very much. Because of international solidarity from the workers, from the concerned people, it always encourages and gives us strength that we are not alone. If we are on the struggle, we have the international community, our friends, our comrades are there. So it gives us the strength and power to fight against the injustice. Thank you for your calling me and forwarded my voice and my cry. It's the cry of the workers from the Gadani shipyard to different people from the different areas. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and in solidarity.
Hi, I'm...
No, I didn't do testing. Oh, okay. Testing.
Okay. Hi, I'm Susanna Espy.
And I'm Ida.
And you're listening to 3CR.
That's right, and it's Asia Pacific Currents on 3CR Radio, your local and favourite community radio station. And really, I'm at the end of my show here, of our show. You were listening to an interview I did last week with Nasir Mansour, who is the Deputy General Secretary of the National Trade Union Federation in Pakistan, about the horrific mass killing of workers in the Gadani shipbreaking yards. Now, about a minute to go before the Palestine Remembered program comes on. Just like I said, three announcements of three demonstrations. One is at 1 p.m. today at Federation Square. There's a demonstration called by RISE, Block the Bill, Refugees, Asylum Seekers and Ex-Detainees. Condemned the Turnbull government's plan to introduce legislation to ban asylum seekers forever from coming to Australia. So there's a protest at 1 p.m. today at Federation Square. Now, that will be followed by 2 p.m., also at Federation Square, by the global rally for BRC5. This is the ongoing demonstration and campaign in Malaysia against the government and against government corruption. So that's actually BRC number 5. And that's happening at 2 p.m. Federation Square. And we've been told that pre-demonstrations arrests have been made in Malaysia already to try and stop these demonstrations from happening. And tomorrow, and as you've already heard it in the Solidarity Breakfast show, there is a major counter rally against against Trump and a variety of racist and fascist groups that are trying to expand the reach and organise. So that's the counter rally against racism and fascism and Trump at Parliament House tomorrow at 1 p.m. So be there. That's all that I've got from you. You've been listening to Asia Pacific Currents, brought to you every week by Australia Asia Worker Links. My name is Pierre Morrow. We'll be back next week with another program. Actually, we'll have Giselle relating back about her solidarity trip to India. So that'll be a fascinating program. So stay tuned for next week, but certainly stay tuned now for Palestine Remembered. That will be coming right up next.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.